Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies in part one. Stuart Irvin shared the philosophy behind his built-to-run trademarked $100 million system and why most businesses stay stuck in planning instead of running. Today, we're getting tactical. Stuart's going to walk us through the six core plays that bring financial clarity, operational rhythm, and strategic execution into alignment. Stuart, welcome back. Let's go.
Thank you, sir.
So let's dig in. What are the six core plays that every founder or CEO needs to execute on to make their business truly built to run?
Gotcha. Yeah. So play one, we kind of talked about it in the last episode. The first play we really focus on is the communication play, and that really focuses on a variety of things. The very first thing we want to know is, do you as a business owner know why you existed? Because if you know why you existed, that's something you can communicate to your customers, but mostly important, you can communicate internally, right? So what is your why? What's your mission, vision, values? And again, these are, we really try to make sure you apply them. It's not just something that we just throw up on the wall, right? We make it a part of, do you hire, fire? And we put that in our process. We, as we start doing our quarterly reviews, as we meet with our employees one-on-one and we drive that, it is a constant of, we'll focus on one of the core values and we train on it and we just talk about it. Because again, I have found that companies who really lean into their why and they have a reason to exist that's beyond them and it really drives there's a reason that their business has purpose behind it. Those are the companies that really, really just take off. And so I find that when you go into these small companies, the owner has a reason why and he's very much committed to it, but his customers don't know. And most important, his employees don't know. So again, communication, why. The other side of it too is now we talked about it in the episode one, you got the framework set up, everything's good to go, but you got to, how do we know that we're winning? So KPIs, metrics, again, we talked about, we set up a meeting cadence, but also we focus a lot on the KPI stuff because we want to know, is the company winning? And we need to make sure that the employee knows if they're winning. So play number one, communication. It's all about that stuff. Play number two is setting up an annual plan. We have to have a North Star. We have to have some sort of understanding. Again, we normally don't hit this play until we're about, I guess, 6 or 8 months into the relationship with the business owner. Because there's so much that is unraveling and being uncovered as you go through the very first phase. And so we try to start forecasting early, but we really don't nail down into a 12-month plan until maybe month 6, 8 time frame. But again, it's critically important to have some sort of a North Star. Too often I see that the business owner just accepts what's coming to them versus driving their business forward with discipline. So play two really focuses around the annual plan. Once the annual plan is set, then you have some sort of a sales target, which now rolls into play three, which is we really work on the sales funnel. So our goal is to have a 2 to 3x sales funnel in regards to what your annual plan is. So if you're operating at 10 million, our goal is to try to get you a $20 to $30 million sales funnel. And in order to do that, you really have to focus on your SWOT, right? So we right out of the box in the discovery, and when we onboard you, we do a SWOT analysis to understand where your business is at. In this play, we really lean in and really make sure we're maximizing your strengths and offsetting your weaknesses, really focusing on what opportunities are out there and make sure we put things in place so the threats don't take over the business. All of that is also, it pairs very well into, do we need to niche down our product offering? So too often you find companies want to be everything to everybody. And so we go through a little niching workshop and say, hey, how do we niche down your business and really make sure you're focused in on what you're good at? What's your unique offering that you can have in the marketplace? When all that stuff is defined, then you start to build out your sales funnel. And we help the guys set up CRMs and really focus on that side of it. Now you're really getting into, now you're starting to operate. So play four focuses on the monthly business review, right? So we need to make sure there's alignment between your sales force and your operations team. So sales and operations planning as a part of the monthly business review. At this point, you have gotten, you know, 3, 4, 5 months worth of forecasting under your belt. So now you can really start dialing those knobs and say, okay, what changes do we need to make to make sure we start to hit our forecast better? You get into month 8, 9, 10. Now you start to compare, okay, what was our annual plan and what knobs do we need to do to make sure that happens? So if you're not at least meeting on an every 30-day basis to say, okay, is there an alignment between my sales and operations team? Or is the sales team selling something the ops team can execute? How are we performing financially? What do we need to dial in? Mm-hmm. Now you're really starting to get into a good rhythm because, again, the beauty about the plan is it gives you a North Star, but it's only pretty much as good as the minute you put it out. Things start to happen, particularly the further out you start to anticipate things. And so you got to have that monthly review so you can, again, dial stuff in to know where you're at. Play five is very much focused on the employees. And again, these plays don't necessarily go in sequence. It's just, again, the playbook we talk about. But we spoke about it earlier. Job descriptions, KPIs, pay ranges, bonuses, where they sit on the org chart, who do they hand their problems up to? The goal is for them to act as owners in all cases. And in order to do that, you need to have an understanding of all of those areas. And so, again, job descriptions, KPIs, pay ranges, and bonus programs where possible. Play six, again, it's just the three Ps, right? The pricing, the profitable new business, and cost reductions. That's the three value drivers. Because you've got 1 through 5 is, again, keying you up for health. Mm-hmm. Play six is all about value execution.
Man, I love the definitions and the different phases or different playbooks that you've got defined because it puts the business owner in check, right? Like, hey, do I have any of these in place? Okay, I have this in place. I don't have this in place. Let's focus on that one. Of the six playbooks that you defined, which of these do most businesses neglect first? And like, you know what? We can probably wait on that one.
Yeah. Again, having a conversation yesterday with one of my clients, the annual plan is one that typically when you ask a business owner, they say, yeah, we've done an annual budget, but they do the budget and it sits right back here on a shelf. It's never touched. In their mind, they've tried it once or twice. They recognize they don't have the discipline to maintain it. And so it goes to the wayside. Whereas after some time spending time with Brackett, you realize that the annual plan is the only thing you check against. It's a constant. Again, you built the plan because you thought you could execute on it. Mm-hmm. Typically, the plan is a growth strategy, right? You're stretching the business. It is what we drive to. It's everything we do. So typically the very first thing that goes to the wayside is the plan.
Man, I love that. The plan is the plan, right? If you're not on the plan, you're not going to win. And that's why when you're playing football or when you're playing any sports, they have a plan of attack. Hey, we're going to play this plan to the T and see if it works. And if it doesn't, guess what? We're going to go to a different plan. And so the business is... The annual plan makes a lot of sense because you plan it ahead of time to say, hey, this is where we want to be next year. But if you put it away and not looking at it on a daily basis, then it's probably a possibility that you're not going to follow the plan. And being visual learners, the more upfront and center you have that plan in front of you, the more it's much easier for you to follow it as well. Absolutely. Stuart, you mentioned that you were speaking with a client yesterday. Can you share a story of a business that transformed once they implemented all of these plans into action?
Yeah, so typically when I walk into an organization, there is some existence with this, right? There's fragments of this throughout the entire organization. I referenced earlier in the previous episode, one of the, again, kind of the turning points for me that said, you know what, I can move forward. That was the largest turnaround. Again, so I walked into a company that was about 80 million. When I got there, they were 60 million. And their on-time delivery was 50%. Within 3 months, we had got the on-time delivery and the past dues. On-time delivery was 99%. Past dues were 0%. Mm. That allowed the sales team to have confidence that the operations team could execute. Because when I walked in, you had your ops team blaming sales. You had your sales team blaming the operations. There was 100% lack of clarity in your supply chain. The as I would go and interview the suppliers, they were like, we have no clue what's coming out of those guys because it changes every day. Yeah. The communication was broken. And so we just implemented all the things that we just talked about. And when I left after 3.5 years, the business had returned back to 72 million. So they had gained $12 million a year in sales. Mm-hmm. Their EBITDA had grown 10% year over year. And the business was just operating again at a very healthy level. I just spoke with an individual who still works there, and they're actually going to peak over 82 million this year. So
nice.
Again, they went from 60 to 82 million in a matter of, you know, 5 or 6 years. And again, he said, man, a lot of the things that you implemented is what we still operate by today. So that was a big win.
No, that sounds really amazing, especially from going to 50% deliverability to 100%, and, you know, bringing that confidence back, right? Because the companies are dependent on the people that are inside of it. And if there's no confidence inside the company, guess what? It's going to leak. It's going to show to other people, oh, these people aren't confident. You can't really expect much. So I love that story. I love how you're able to help them turn around within 90 days and they're still operating on that same plan and seeing those year over year upgrades or success and growth. Now, Stuart, you talk a lot about eliminating chaos. How do you help leaders move from firefighting every day? Because trust me, I've seen a lot of it. We got to turn on this fire. You got to turn on this fire. I hear this from my wife all the time. But how do you move? How can leaders move from firefighting every day to a business that runs with rhythm and everything is just where it needs to be?
Yeah. So a lot of it is coaching, right? When we talk about the playbook on the people side, when we develop the job descriptions, we develop the job description without the person's name, right? So we put the job, we put the position, the title, and then we look at the person and say, are they capable of doing this? Do they want to do this? If they're not capable, do they have the capacity to learn? And so in that, you're working right beside the owner of the business, and he's agreeing that this is their roles and responsibilities. These are the top 5 to 7 key tasks that they're going to be responsible for. This is how we're going to measure that. And oh, by the way, this person is capable of doing that. And so when I'm very tied in with these owners. And so when I see something pop up that I recognize that they're accustomed to doing, I say, hey, you just said that guy's responsible for that, right? So the exercise of defining the job, going through, are they capable, want it, or can they do their job? And if they agree to it, it really just boils down to just holding them accountable to actually let go, make it happen. So that's really a big thing. It just takes a lot of coaching. Again, these guys, many cases, have been the only one who has done the task, whatever, for years and years and years. But when you also go through that exercise of doing building out your org chart and job descriptions and so on and so forth, there may be an opportunity. There's a gap there, right? I need an HR manager because I have over 100 employees and I don't have a firm process. We go through that exercise. Hey, we need to hire that because, again, this is not what your, that's not your sweet spot. And so that playbook of, again, playbook 5, the employee plan, that helps that issue a lot.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Seeing the plan through, making sure that the communication is the core, and coaching, right? Coaching is so important. And I didn't realize how much coaching anybody needs, right? You're constantly putting that in your mind, and it's been a rude awakening for me. I'm like, I don't need coaching. I know all this stuff, but apparently we all need coaching, and that's why some of the top athletes have multiple coaches in different areas of their lives to make sure they're fully optimized, fully working forward. Stuart, what's the aha moment most founders have when they finally see it all working?
So a lot of times when we come in and we pitch this, it's a dream, right? They're like, oh my God. There's a lot of skepticism, right? There's no way. So it really varies by employee, I mean, by business owner. You know, the more skeptical, the more information they need, the longer it takes for them to go, ah, now I see it. But there's a point, like when I coach them in regards to discussing the chain, mm-hmm. I go through and I describe the CRM and what that looks like. And what does the sales funnel look like? How does that flow into your forecasting? How does forecasting flow into the operations, and how do they all link together? Yeah. There's a lot of whiteboard work, right? We draw a lot of pictures and talk about it over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. But when you actually go from whiteboard to the tools that we actually use, and they start to see things in their business that they've never seen before, they've always thought, I've always wanted to see that. Now I see how you use that. So it's actually a combination of a lot of little things that they all of a sudden go, now I get it, right? So I don't know that there's any one particular thing. Once we cross this threshold, they go, it's something that's very personal to the business owner that they go, I've always wanted to see, and now you just shown me what that looks like. And so it varies by employee, by owner, really.
Yeah. I love it, because when they see that, when they see the interlocking connection between what is connected to getting that results, like, oh, I see the through line. I see how it happens now, as opposed to trying to figure out how Wi-Fi works. I'm like, wow, how does it really work? Now, Stuart, how long did it really take to make that shift? And you mentioned, you know, took you 90 days to turn this company around, but how long did it realistically for majority of the companies take to make that shift?
It really 100% relies and focuses on how fast the owner feels comfortable with making the changes, right? So how I tell a lot of people, I operate as the head, you have to operate as the heart. I'm the gas, you're the brake. I can only go as fast and as hard as you want your business to change. And so when I was a W-2 guy and I was a hired gun to go in and do it, I averaged about 90 days, right? But that's a whole lot different because, again, you just go in and make it happen, right? I operate through the business owner, so I can only go as fast as the owner is comfortable with doing. And so normally what I try to do is I try to push the business owner until they have some type of an emotional backlash to me. And I go, all right, that's it, right? And so I set the cadence of change based off of kind of that feedback from them. It is a regular conversation. Are you satisfied with how fast we're going? Do you want to go faster? You want to go harder? Because I can go faster. And again, most of the time, the change really focuses and is hinged on the business owner's comfort level of change.
I love that. It's again, comes back to, hey, how fast can somebody really execute or even adapt that change or adapt the coaching that you're providing? So it totally makes sense that, you know, they would be the heart and be like, okay, stop, you're going too fast, let's back up, let's slow down. I love that. Stuart, you often say, even if you're not selling tomorrow, you should be building like you will. What is that? What does preparing for exit really mean in a day-to-day operations?
So it's one of those things where you see it a lot today. These business owners have poured everything they had into their business. They've risked it all to grow something, and they get to the end and it's like, now what? What do I do now, right? And so, you know, they may or may not have a child who wants to take over the business.
Yeah.
They may not have their stuff set up in a way that is even of interest to a VC or a PE firm, right? And so they end up just having to shut the doors, which is brutal because you've worked your whole life to build this thing. And so your goal is to always have somebody to hand it off to. Have you been a good steward of what was given to you? And again, can you pass off something great that's been built that can, even if your kids are not involved in the business, if you sell it and it's a profit, then you can have generational impact, right? And so the goal is really just to make sure that you or your family benefits from what you've worked so hard and risked it all for to build. And so, again, a lot of times I don't have an interest in selling. At some point you will. At some point you will, right? Mm-hmm. And also the things that prop you up for sale also are just healthy business practices. So if you're operating a very healthy business, it will be of an appeal to someone. Again, be it a child or someone in the VC PE world that may want to come up and buy you.
I love that. What's the most common mistake leaders make when thinking about valuation?
Focusing on something besides the value drivers, right? They think, oh, I've got to go acquire someone, or oh, I got to go, you know, do this. A lot of times people think they can cut their way out of problems, mm-hmm. you know, but you've got to focus on the pricing, the cost, and the business growth. That's it. Again, we joked in the earlier episode about chasing rabbits. That is mm-hmm. a lot of times what people tend to do. And really yeah. what that stems from is it's just a lack of understanding in their business. They just yeah. don't know. They don't know what drives. They don't know what knobs to turn to make the impact. So we focus on, right? If they come up with an idea, we say, all right, how's that going to impact your price, cost, or new business growth? Well, it's not. And we're not going to focus on it, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to focus on it. So is that acquisition going to make you stronger or not? I mean, adding sales to the top line, that's not really where the game's at, right? It's all about profitability on the bottom line. So it's really getting them to, you know, every little idea they have, trying to tie that back into one of the three value drivers and see how does that impact, and then just laser focused on price, cost, and new business growth.
Price, cost, and new business growth. I love that, Stuart. This has been an absolute masterclass in execution. Thank you so much for your time. This was... I'm mind blowing. I'm probably going to have a conversation with you later on, you know, find a time on your calendar, find a time to work with you to see how can my business focus on those three aspects and, you know, start to grow as well, because I feel like I'm stuck, right?
Awesome. Yeah. I'll be glad to help you.
Now what's cool is that you've also shown us how moving beyond planning and into action can not only drive revenue and profit, but create businesses that are truly built to run. For those listening, can you share the sites again so then we also have it on this?
Absolutely. Yep. So I'm most active on LinkedIn, so Stuart Irvin on LinkedIn. And if you want to check out my website, it's BracketMGMT, which is Bracket Management Shortens.
Perfect, Stuart. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you soon. Thank you again for this amazing episode with us.
Awesome. Appreciate you having me.
For those listening, if you're tired of chaos, if you're stuck on a plateau, or if you just want to stop babysitting your own business, go connect with Stuart and check out his Built to Run system. And remember, execution beats ideas every single time. Until next time, keep building, keep running, and keep hacking your way to success. Thank you, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.